Well, good morning and welcome to St Luke's Echabin. Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, but a very warm welcome to Charlie and Theo, the parents, godparents, family, who've come for baptism this morning. Would you please stand as you're able as we sing together our opening hymn, Light of the World. You have spoken our spirit and life, O Lord. You have the words of eternal life. Let us pray. Fountain of God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to live according to it, that we may grow in faith and hope and love through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your words that we may be ready to serve you in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. We're going to have our first Bible reading, and Sue is going to read to us from the Book of Psalms.
A reading from that old Timothy. A reading from the Book of Psalms. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. I will keep my solemn promise to obey you, just instructions. My sufferings, Lord, are terrible indeed. keep me alive as you have promised. Accept my prayer of thanks, O Lord, and teach me your commands. I am always ready to risk my life. I have not forgotten your law. The wicked lay a trap for me, but I have not disobeyed your commandments. Your commandments are my eternal possession. They are the joy of my heart. I have decided to obey your laws until the day I die. For the word of the Lord.
Gospel of Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no roots, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is second week in a row that we're celebrating baptism at our 9 o'clock service. And we welcome Charlie and Theo and their parents and their godparents to this really important step in their lives. So as I read that gospel passage, a well-known parable over last week, I've been reflecting on how this can be seen in the context of baptism and in the wider context of evangelism and discipleship. And a few years ago, I came across a visual depiction of this parable. Can you just click for me? And this is a modern illuminated manuscript of the Bible. Bibles always used to be handwritten by monks, but since the printing press, they were. This, in the last few decades, has been created hand-drawn in Wales for St. John's Abbey in Charlotte's Collegeville, Minnesota. And this is the page of the parable of the sower. And in the picture, a simple figure is the sower, a farmer. And he's clearly identified as Jesus. If you could look carefully, there's probably a halo around the head. And that's the clue in this sort of artwork that this is someone important, someone holy. He's in the center. Below his feet are the rows of soil, fertile, rocky, shallow, and weedy. And round it, there's a rather ornate etched frame, but the frame doesn't constrain the farmer. His sweeping arm scatters the seed and it breaks the frame of the illustration. And the seeds themselves, you probably can't see so easily on the projection, are actually scattered in between the lines of the text on the page. We're told in the verse 18 of the passage we heard that the seed represents the word of the kingdom, the good news of the gospel. So in the mind of a Welsh artist, this parable is making the outstanding affirmation that the gift of the gospel is something that is to be spread abundantly. As I was trying to get my bubbles to earlier. Even beyond the bounds of human imagination, as represented by that frame. Now, modern day farmers would first ensure that the ground was suitable for planting and then would use their seeds sparingly, planting just where there was the best chance of seed growing. This isn't the case for the sower in the parable. He doesn't check the soil first. He doesn't limit where he scatters the seed. He scatters wherever and whenever he is able. We might think of the sower as God or as Jesus, as the artist has done here, but one could also think of the sower as a preacher, the teacher, the evangelist, or the missionary, one who spreads the good news. So this parable is a message to the church. If you read books on evangelism and mission, you may well be told there's much talk about preparing first, doing a demographic study, determining a target audience, and then developing your communication strategy to fit there. You know all about this, don't you, Helen? Yes. And there's some sense to this. One might cite limited resources and cost-benefit analyses, but the parable reminds us that in God's economy, there is a different worldview. God's gifts are abundant. They don't need to be limited. God has a much bigger picture than anything we can imagine. And then just as the sower does not know in advance what is beneath the soil's surface, whether the ground is hard, whether the soil is shallow, or where weeds will choke, neither the church nor a preacher knows the quality of the soil before sowing. It is the purpose of the sower, the preacher, teacher, apostle, missionary, evangelist, indeed the whole church, just to sow wherever and whenever it is able. In the context of baptism, then, we see that this is a gift from God. It is not something that is limited, not something that we should hoard. We'd have no idea about how the message of the good news would be received, but it isn't our question to ask. Which is why anyone who comes asking to be baptized or asking for their children to be baptized are always welcome. The very fact that they have come to ask means that they are within the spread of the arms of the sower. We then turn to those four soils in the parable. The metaphor changes a little. The seeds become not the word of God, but the growing plants, the germinated disciples, so to speak. It seems at first reading to be a litany of ways in which the growth of the word of God within the hearers can be thwarted. The work of the evil one, trouble and persecution, the realities of living in the world, all seem to conspire against the growth of discipleship. However, a more valuable way of reading this is to see it as Matthew telling his readers, and indeed us as well, about the necessary conditions for fruitful discipleship. We're told that in order for the disciples to grow, they must understand, to attend properly, and to persevere. Matthew is very keen on the idea of understanding, and he keeps on highlighting it. Here he says that without understanding, the word finds no place to implant. The ever evil, ever near evil one, like a hovering bird, snatches away the potential of faith. But understanding means more than just hearing about God. It means a deep sense of how this leads to action, how this actually makes a difference in how we live and how we what we think. And this then is what baptism should lead to. The church's call is to encourage this understanding, to encourage the baptized in the reading of scripture and of making it a part of their lives. The first line in our psalm today, verse 105, it's a very long psalm, it's 119, Gary didn't get in there to read it also. God's word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Those seeds are scattered throughout the text of the word. God's word is in the word on the paper. There's a famous prayer by Thomas Cranmer, who wrote the first Anglican prayer book many centuries ago. He writes, "Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ." So for children coming to baptism, it is therefore a responsibility that the parents and godparents take on to read their children the stories of Jesus and to help them see how this will make a difference in their lives. Understanding is important, but it's not all that we need in order to be fruitful disciples. We also need to be attentive, and we need to persevere. And Matthew reminds us repeatedly that disciples will endure powerful opposition. The joy and response we see in the gospel is wonderful, but he writes, trouble or persecution on account of the world will arise. There will also be temptations, troubles within, described here as the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. As we grow in the faith of God, we learn to navigate such circumstances. Earlier on in the gospel, Jesus tells us when faced by such circumstances that we need to strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the church, we travel this path together, and it's an important role of parents and godparents to help their baptized children live as a disciple and learn to live through life's ups and downs, striving first for the kingdom of God. In the parable, the seed was sown widely onto four different soils with four different responses. Is this meaning, do we think, that some people are just rocky, shallow, or weedy? I don't think so. But I think it's taken the parable too far. We don't need to associate absolutely everything in the parable with a literal meaning. We are not seas that are static and can't move. People have agency. We can shift from rocky or thorny ground to good soil. That's not to say that our response, in effect our salvation, is all or in part up to us. St. Paul makes it clear in his letters that faith is a gift from God. Fruitful discipleship is the work of God in us. To the Ephesians he writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." We aren't able to control where our path takes us, fertile, rocky, shallow, or weedy. And we can't control what we have understanding. However, we know that God will work in us if we allow God to do so. And that leads us to the end of a parable, a promise of vast abundance. The hundredfold is an absolutely outstanding yield. Even 30-fold is pretty good. This is something that we give grateful thanks for, and we know that this is indeed the desire of God for all who are baptized, Charlie and Theo included. Amen. We will come now to our baptism, and as we gather around the font for the baptism, we will please stand and we will sing our next hymn, Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he had risen from the dead, he commanded his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have come together today to obey that command. Baptism with water signifies the cleansing from sin that Jesus' death makes possible, and the new life that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. In baptism, the promises of God are visibly signed and sealed for us. We are joined to Christ and made members of his body, the Church Universal. Children are baptized in response to God's all-embracing love. Parents and godparents who have responded to that love now come to bring their children for baptism. Before this congregation, they must express their own trust and commitment to the promises of God and their intention to bring up their children in the faith and practice of the Church. In due time, these children should make their own response to God and be prepared for confirmation. So we welcome you, Charlie and Theo, and your sponsors. We give thanks for you and pray that you may know God's love and faithfulness forever. So I invite their sponsors to present them now.
We present Charles David Johnson, Theodore Rick Johnson to be baptized.
So will you accept the responsibilities placed upon you in bringing Charlie and Theo for baptism?
I will.
Are you willing to answer on behalf of Charlie and Theo?
I am.
By your own prayers and example, by your friendship and love, will you encourage Charlie and Theo in the life and faith of the Christian community? Before God and this congregation, you must affirm that you turn to Christ and reject all that is evil. Do you turn to Christ? Do you repent of your sins? Do you reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust?
I reject them all.
Do you renounce Satan and all evil?
I renounce all that evil.
Almighty God, deliver you from the power of darkness and lead you in the light of Christ to his everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
Will you each, by God's grace, strive to live as a disciple of Christ, loving God with your whole heart and your neighbour as yourself, until your life's end? So friends, family, members of our of St. Luke's, you have heard these, our brothers and sisters, respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling?
We will.
We pray for the peoples of the world. At the end of each prayer, I will ask, say, Spirit of God, and you will respond, hear our prayer. We pray for those oppressed by harsh governments, those who live under foreign rule, those in countries destroyed by war, and for the dispossessed. And today we pray that the conflict in Iran will not re-escalate and that all parties will commit to peaceful negotiation. Spirit of God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for your church, and today we particularly pray in the Anglican Communion for the province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, the Diocese of Grafton here in Australia, and the parish of Samford here in our diocese. We also pray for all diocesan committees, and we pray for St. John's Anglican College at Forest Lake and all who work and study there. And today we pray for our missionary partners, the parishes in the Western region. Spirit of God, we pray for those in our community. We pray for the St. Elizabeth's Primary, St. Agnes Primary, and the Red Hill Primary. And we pray in our parish that we give thanks for our operating license for the Little Angels Tarragindi is expected very soon. We also pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who have asked for our prayers as they're listed in our note paper. And today we also pray and remember those who have died, who have gone before us. We pray for those listed in our book of remembrance for this week. They are listed in our notice paper for you at home. Spirit of God,
hear our prayer.
And today we grant merciful God, that Charlie and Theodore may be so buried with Christ in baptism, that the new nature may be raised up in them. May the fruit of your Spirit grow and flourish in them.
Amen.
Give to their sponsors and their families the desire to share with them what you have revealed in your holy gospel. Amen. May they know Christ's forgiving love and continue in the fellowship and service of his church. May they proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ.
Amen.
We thank you for the ministry we have in your world and to each other in the household of faith. Hasten that day when the whole creation shall be made perfect in Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks that at the beginning of creation your Holy Spirit moved upon the waters to bring forth light and life. With water you cleanse and replenish the earth. You nourish and sustain all living things. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks that through the waters of the Red Sea you led your people out of slavery into freedom and brought them through the River Jordan to new life in the land of promise. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his baptism by John, for his anointing with the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks that through the deep waters of death Jesus delivered us from our sins and was raised to new life in triumph. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks for the grace of the Holy Spirit who forms us in the likeness of Christ and leads us to proclaim your kingdom. Thanks be to God. And now we give you thanks you have called Charlie and Theo to new birth in your church through the waters of baptism. Pour out your Holy Spirit in blessing and sanctify this water, that they who are baptized in it may be made one with Christ in his death and resurrection. May they die to sin, rise to newness of life, and continue forever in Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give you praise and honor in the unity of the Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And now ask everyone here to affirm as ours the faith of the Church. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is the faith of the Church. This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We now come to baptism. So we have Charlie first. Hey, Charlie. All right, you need to hold his head over the water. All right, out we go.
You can do it.
Hold on. Your mum's holding on to you. Yeah. Charles Peter Johnson, I baptise you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well done. All right, Theo. Theodore Rick Jobson, I baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, well done. Now, very, very important people in days gone by were anointed with oil to say, show that they were special people before God. Now, Charlie and Theo are special people, so I'm going to anoint them now with oil that was blessed by the Archbishop. So, okay, Charles, I sign you with a sign of a cross to show that you are marked as Christ's own forever. Theo, I sign you with a sign of a cross to show that you are marked as Christ's own forever. Live as a disciple of Christ. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the face. To confess Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, look for his coming in glory. Now, another great symbol is a lighted candle showing the light of us. So may I ask a couple of the godparents to light a candle for us, light a candle for Charlie. So from our Paschal candle here. And one for Theo. Go. God has brought you, Charlie and Theo, God has brought you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. God has called you into his church. We therefore receive and welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, as a child of the one heavenly Father, and as an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Let's welcome them. Now I have baptism certificate. So there is a baptism for Charlie. I'm going to write their godparents we've got. And this is one for Theo. And then for the back of the godparents to remind you of what you've done today, the promises that you've made, I've got certificates for you. Thomas, there you are. And Brittany. And Anna, must be you. So you must be William.
Yes.
There we are.
And we as a parish are always so, so thankful and blessed by receiving children in baptism. So we like to offer a little something, a Bible, something for you to enjoy as a family. So let's give this one first to Charlie. There we go. Welcome to our church and the Church Universal of God. So brilliant that you're with us. And here we go for you too, darling. So welcome and enjoy. And thank you once again.
as we move on to our service, we'll greet each other. Can I have a click of that? God is our salvation and the hope of all the ends of the earth. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We're going to come now after a hymn to share in the Holy Communion, and the welcome is there open. I said baptism is welcome, so is Holy Communion. Anyone who is used to taking communion in their own church is welcome to come. And we take communion, go up, walk up the front of the aisle and go down the sides. You see, follow everybody else. And if you would just like to receive a blessing, then come up and I'm very happy to give a blessing. So let's start sing our hymn, You're the Word of God the Father. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share, accepting you as our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Blessed give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honour be yours, always and everywhere. Mighty Creator, ever-living God, we give you thanks and praise for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by the power of your Spirit was born of Mary and lived as one of us. By his death on the cross and rising to new life, he offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtaining eternal deliverance for his people. In baptism, you have united us to him and brought us out of darkness into light. You pour your Spirit upon us, filling us with your gifts and calling us to serve you as a royal priesthood. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Merciful God, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and wine. And we pray that by your word and Holy Spirit, we who eat and drink them may be partakers of Christ's body and blood. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, we do as our Saviour has commanded, proclaiming his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. And looking for his coming again, we celebrate with this bread and this cup his one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body. Gifts of God, people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Gracious God, in baptism you make us one family in Christ your Son, one in the sharing of his body and his blood, one in the communion of his Spirit. Help us to grow in love for one another and come to the full maturity of the body of Christ. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Please stand as we sing our missional hymn, "You Shall Go Out With Joy." Yeah. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Give honour to all. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.